Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
Dude. The Met Messiah, Loogie.
Loogie. Damage.
Dog.
Loogie is the future of the station.
It's the Loog Hour on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Tommy Loog Hour. Loogie. Losing to Washington, the Commanders, that is rock bottom. 888-808-1019. Losing to the Washington Commanders is rock bottom. Let me start first and foremost with the head coach, Brian Daboll. A guy that a couple years ago, I called the people's champ. Coach of the year, they go to the playoffs, they win a playoff game. And then last year, I called him the Cowardly Lion because he acted like a coward. He was not aggressive. He was not aggressive enough to win some games. Jet game comes to mind. The game in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor, on and on and on and on and on. And I thought going into the season, we would see a much more slimmed down Brian Daboll, which we have. And I thought we would get back to the people's champ. Now, yesterday had nothing to do with the Cowardly Lion. He had no choice to be aggressive. Why? Because he didn't have a kicker. 2 years in a row, last year with the Jet game, and then yesterday, he dresses Gano when he's injured and has no backup plan, and he sent Graham Gano out there both times when he was injured. Jets last year, misses the field goal, you get to overtime, they don't let Tommy DeVito throw, and they lost. Then you get to a scenario where this year, the kicker is injured going into the game, he is in warm-ups, gets banged up, goes to the locker room, comes back out, and you have him kick off to start the game, so he's running around chasing guys, and he injures himself. And then after the game, Brian Daboll is asked, well, I understand that it was a groin, but he hurt the hammy, or he had the hammy, he hurt the groin, and this is connected to the elbow, to the hip bone, and whatever the heck that stupid song was. And he's acting, you know, all smirky and snarky after the game. Here's the bottom line. Brian Daboll is comfortable. Brian Daboll is coaching like he spoke to Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner and said, hey, how can I get that lifetime contract? That's how he's coaching. He is coaching like a guy who's comfortable that doesn't think he's going to get fired. Because if not, he's an idiot. So which one? Door number one, you're an idiot. Door number two, you're comfortable. I'm going to go with comfortable. Because I see a guy here. First, it was Wink. Wink was the problem. Then it was Kafka. Kafka's the problem. Probably have that order wrong. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is, he's running out of bodies to put in front of him. Now it's the quarterback. Oh, yeah, the quarterback stinks. And in my mind, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, either because they've politicked or they've spoken to the owner or in their brains, well, we were given Daniel Jones, so we're going to get an opportunity to draft a quarterback. And I got a newsflash for Brian Daboll. You don't have a lifetime contract. Because if you continue to make these mistakes, and everyone wants to make a big deal about what he says after the games, and whether it's Joe Judge level or Bill Belichick level, I don't care what he's saying after the games. The media's there to get stories. The media's there to get clicks. The media's there to get information, too, absolutely. But they're there to stir it up. They play good cop, bad cop. One of the reporters asks good cop question, then the other guy asks a bad cop question. We all know how it works. So they could get a headline here, but they also have to throw him certain questions that are important and people want to know about that aren't going to get headlines that, you know, if you're really into the nuts and bolts of football, you want to hear about. So I understand the good cop, bad cop thing. But when he was asked about his job security yesterday, and it was Pat Leonard, you know, Daboll basically gave him the death stare. And I know the death stare. If you're married, you know the death stare. You know passive aggressive and you know death stare. I get them both sometimes. I don't want to take out the damn garbage. Who cares? And I'm certainly not making the bed. Brian Daboll acts like a guy who has a lifetime contract. He acts like a guy and coaches like a guy that is comfortable. He has his feet up, literally. This is the guy during Hard Knocks when they were interviewing potential guys they were going to draft. Dude had his feet up. He's got his feet up, literally and figuratively. Up, it's all good. Daniel Jones stinks, and we know it. And nobody happier, by the way, today than Daniel Jones because he's not the story. I can't even bang the drum for Tommy DeVito because Daniel Jones was fine. He was decent. He was okay. The head coach, once again, 2 years in a row, dresses a kicker that's hurt, sends the kicker out there when he's injured, and then draws up 3 2-point conversion plays that basically 2 6-year-olds at the beach in the sand could have drawn up better plays than they did. Those were hideous. What did Daniel Jones say in the huddle there? I don't know what the heck we're doing. Run, try to get open. It's not flag football, coach. 3 2-point conversions, and they all stunk. So you didn't want to kick, and then you had an opportunity to be aggressive because Lord knows you're not going to be aggressive because you're the Cowardly Lion because you think you got a lifetime contract. And then you draw up these 3 plays, and they get nothing, nothing out of it. Nothing. The idea that you, again, he's either stupid, which I don't think he is, or he's comfortable. He's comfortable. You can't have a business and employees that think they're comfortable. That you just can't. Everybody's got a shelf life. Belichick had a shelf life. Everybody has a beginning and an end, except for Boone and Cashman. We know that. And I don't have to tell you, most of the Yankee fans are Giant fans. We don't need this again. We don't need guys that basically there's no accountability. They could do whatever the heck they want. They could lose games, win games. Doesn't matter. Because that's what I'm seeing with this Giant team. I'm seeing a coach that is just got the feet up, chilling, relaxing, which, hey, when you were the people's champ and you were winning games and you were aggressive and you were leading the Giants to the playoffs, all good, great, love it. Give them all the awards, give them all the accolades you want, throw a parade for the guy. But when we got to see this garbage football and you're hitting rock bottom, because Washington was always the kid brother, always. Giants, more wins over Washington, when they were the Redskins, when they were the football club team, whatever the heck they were called, and now with the dopey Commander's name. Giants have more wins over Washington than any other team in the NFL has wins throughout the course of their career or the history of their organization than anyone else, right? Okay. That was very convoluted, but you get the idea. They own them. They own the Washington Commanders more than any other team has owned another team in the NFL. They've always been the kid brother. They've always been there. They're always a get-right spot. They're always there to pick them up. I made the analogy last year on the air. You're having a bad day. Your girlfriend broke up with you. You're late on your cell phone bill. You got laid off at work. You got a tummy ache. You call up your boy or your girlfriend or whatever that's been there in your life, and they build you up. They bring you up. That is what Washington has always been for the Giants. Not anymore. Because we have a coaching staff led by the head coach that is comfortable. That is comfy, relaxed, cool, calm, and collected, because he knows and the GM knows, well, we're going to get an opportunity to draft our own quarterback. Oh, really? So, and then I heard this one too. Oh, they'll tank this year and then next year. Excuse me? Some of us don't have 3 years. We're going to sit around and wait and watch this team tank again? This is the Giants. This is the Giants. Or is it? Or is this the Jets? Am I watching the Jets? Because outside of 1 year, that's what they've become. They become the Jets. The head coaches, the losing, they're at another September, and they're out of it. And they're out of it. That's what they become. A team that, and we gave it to you on the air on Evan and Tiki. You can go back on the Rewind app and listen to it. The Jets outrated the Giants yesterday. There's more buzz, there is more eyeballs on the Jets than the Giants in week two. Now, Aaron Rodgers has a lot to do with that, and we could sit here and try to spin it, try to rationalize it, try to make ourselves feel better. Bottom line is, the Jets have more juice. And the Giants are waiting for next year. Or maybe the year after that. I don't know. How many Mannings are there? We're waiting on another one? It's ridiculous. And it's just a mentality that I believe that this coach and the general manager have. Oh, you know what? Wink was a problem. They made Wink the bad guy. They put Wink in front of them. Oh, Wink was a problem. It was Wink. Come on. He's surly. He's bad. He was bad for the building. Kafka. Oh, yeah. Now he can't call the right plays. I got to call the plays. Okay. Now it's the quarterback. Now the quarterback stinks. He's any good. We didn't draft him. We're going to get an opportunity to draft our own quarterback. So how many more years you got? 1, 2, 3, 5? And then you continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And I think that's out of comfort. I do. And I'm sure John Mara deep down, because we'll put a pin on it, but I will just say this. I'd rather have 20 years of Joe Judge than 1 year of Belichick. the game, no disrespect, greatest of all time, the game has passed him by. Bill Belichick would be an absolute disaster here. I know John Mara loves him. I know Bill Belichick loves this organization. He loves the Giants. He would love to somehow stick it to the Jets by being the Giant head coach. If you think bringing in Bill Belichick and a young quarterback is a good idea, you don't know anything. I'm sorry, you don't. Because Belichick plays, and no offense, because we're all going to get there one day, hopefully, old man football. He punts. You don't punt. You know what punting's for? Losers. Punting gets you fired. Bill Belichick loves to punt. Now, maybe at one time that was a good strategy. The game has passed him by. He's not going to be good with a young quarterback. So this idea of getting Arch Manning and Bill Belichick is nonsense. Good luck. You're going to get a lot of clicks if you put it out there on social media, but that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get wins. That's not going to work. Belichick and a young quarterback's not going to work, and the game has passed Bill by. It has. The greatest coach of all time was sitting out there. There was a million opportunities to hire him, and nobody did. So I'd rather have 20 years of Joe Judge than 1 year of Belichick at this point, because I just think the game has completely passed him by. But the comfort here, the comfort, because I'm sure John Mara doesn't want to fire another head coach, because guess what? You become the Jets. You become what the Browns were or are still. And that's a loser organization, because when you fire head coaches and you have turmoil, a quarterback coach, general manager, you are a laughingstock, you are dysfunctional, and you're not going to win. You're not going to win. So I'm sure John Mara doesn't want to do that. So these guys know that. Dable and Shane know that. They know we're good. He's not going to fire us, so we'll do whatever the heck we want. We'll send injured kickers out there. We'll have them running around after guys on kickoffs. We won't be aggressive. We'll keep throwing Daniel Jones out there because we got a million excuses. 888-828-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Evan in Manhattan. What's up, Ev?
Hey, man. I'm calling about the Giants, but you brought up so many interesting topics. You know, while I'm holding, I'm going to call an audible here. So you brought up Wink Martindale, great coach, and that's purely Dable's ego right there. And you think that the fact that two of the best young pass rushers in the NFL, Thibodeau and Burns, have been invisible has nothing to do with that change?
Certainly has something to do with it. At the end of the day, it's on the guys. It's on Burns. It's on Kayvon to get after the quarterback. Yep. No, but you're right. He couldn't get along with Wink. Now, listen, Wink wears out his welcome in other spots. He's done that. I'm sure he's going to wear out his welcome in Michigan as well. But the bottom line is egos got involved there, and Brian Dable made Wink out. Look, Brian Dable and Joe Shane basically banded together, and that's fine. They're from Buffalo, and they said 2-on-1, the two win. We band together against Wink, we'll get Wink the heck out of here. We'll basically have Kafka doing what? I have no idea. We'll call the plays. So you're blaming Kafka, you're blaming Wink, and now it's the quarterback. Well, the quarterback stinks. We didn't draft the quarterback. So it's Gettleman's fault. So now he's being blamed. And we'll have an opportunity to draft a quarterback. What if that quarterback ends up being like Bryce Young? So now that's 1, 2, 3, 4 more years of this, of September's where they don't win games and they're out of it. That's what you're looking at. I just see a coach with the feet up, literally and figuratively, comfortable. That's what I see. And I see the same mistakes over and over and over again. It started with that Eagle playoff game where he quit in the game. They weren't prepared. They got just destroyed, and he quit in the game. And then last year, the Jet game with the Gano nonsense, not letting DeVito throw in overtime. It's comfort. Because remember last year, honeymoon. It's a honeymoon. Honeymoon. It's all good. What's this year? Oh, we don't have the quarterback. Well, we'll just draft one. So then what's next year? Oh, we're developing him. You know, he's still young. And we're 10 years later, and these guys are still going to be here. Win games. That's all I want. That's what you want. That's what we all want. We want to win. Come up with all the slogans and all the, you know, draft this quarterback and do that and do this, do this. You need the head coach, too. And I'm not sure what the heck has happened to this guy. 2 years ago, I saw, you know, wow, man, Brian Dable, this is what we needed because of obviously all the bad coaches before him. And I'm just seeing, you know, basically it is inexcusable to do what he did with Cano. Inexcusable. I'm watching this yesterday and I'm going, this is the Giants? This is a great, proud organization? They look incompetent. You don't want to be bottom of the barrel level incompetence in the NFL. Again, the Jets are where they are now. Great. I'm just using them as an example. That's what you become. You become the Jets when you start doing stuff like that. Where before even kickoff even starts, I got to hear, well, the kicker, you know, sort of maybe re-aggravated something in warm-ups, and then he's out there on the opening kickoff. Everybody on the team, he should have just said, excuse me, have any of you played soccer throughout your lives? Raise your hand. Can any of you kick a ball? Because one of you are going to kick this and run after the guy that catches it. Because I'm not going to send the guy out there with a groin injury. The first play, he gets hurt. And now you have to play an entire game without a kicker. Bold strategy, Cotton. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Ray in Westchester. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, Tommy? Listen,
yeah.
I'm with you. This guy is too comfortable. I agree with you. But however, John Mara's got to take control. He's got the money. We went Shermer, McAdoo, Joe Judge. Let's get a seasoned coach and let's start playing.
Well, Ray, here's the problem. I think I don't know what happened there. You dropped off. Let me say this again. I want no part. Let me be very clear, crystal clear. I want no part of Bill Belichick here. None. The game has passed him by. He plays old man football. He punts. The sport and the game has passed him by, which is fine. Happens to everybody in all forms of entertainment. It's just not there for him anymore. And then you want him to develop a young quarterback? Oh, what could go wrong? And then he's got how many more wins till he passes Shula? So Mara will never fire him. Belichick gets here, he'll literally have a lifetime contract because they'll win 5 games every year. They won't be horrific because Bill will be solid with them. And then we got to see him win 5 games a year until he passes Shula. 888-808-1019 is the number to call before the Mets get going here, because this sounds a lot like negative Tommy. And I get that. This is frustrated Tommy. You're hearing frustrated Tommy. You will now hear positive Tommy. Hold on, let me go get him. Yo, positive Tommy, you there? Yes, I am. Positive Tommy has a message for all the Met fans out there. Because Francisco Lindor, to me, bigger story over the weekend than the actual losses, which were, I get it, gut-punching, but they've been there before. Francisco Lindor and his back are the bigger story than what happened with the Mets. Obviously, the Braves lost last night. They're still tied for the final wild card spot. So what I would say this on a positive note is anybody that's had a bad back, luckily I have not had to deal with that. I know Evan has, and a lot of you out there listening right now have dealt with it, are dealing with it, will deal with it. Francisco Lindor tweaked his back, and he was on the road, right? He was on the road in the awful dump known as Philadelphia. So he's probably staying in some, you know, awful hotel, because they don't have nice hotels, because they don't have anything nice in Philadelphia. Francisco Lindor is back home now. He's dealing with the bad back. He met the media today and basically laid it out there. And look, they're tricky with the backs. And he said, you know what? I'm going to either miss 2 to 3 games. I'll miss 3 to 5 games. So he gave you a window essentially of 2 to 5 games on when he's going to be back. So I took that as you're not going to see him in this national series. He's not going to be playing against Washington. But I would just say this. He goes home. He sleeps on his own mattress. The power of the Prosperpedic, is that what they say? What's the mattress again? Prosperpedic, right? Through the power of the Prosperpedic, the great mattress at home from Francisco Lindor, it will heal his back. The power of positivity, the power of the mattress, the power of the home-cooked meal will fix Francisco Lindor's back. He will be back, no pun intended, soon. And look, Lindor got him here. The rest of them have to get him home. That's it. He has done his part. Francisco Lindor has more than done his part. He got the Mets to this spot. The rest of the team has got to take it over from here. And then the power of the mattress, the power of positivity, that will get Francisco Lindor back on the baseball field, back on the MVP level. And like I've been telling you for months, don't make any vacation plans in October, because the Mets will be playing baseball. There is no quit in the Mets. There is no quit in positive Tommy. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, here on the Lugauer. More of your calls on the Giants. We will get into the Jets. A little bit more on the Mets and Yankees as well. Taking you up till 7:30 Monday Night Football here on The Fan. I got to be full disclosure, and I think that's important here. Before the break, I was trying to hit a punchline, and I got to be honest with you. I was forgetting the word. So I was drawing out the power of positivity. I was drawing out Francisco Lindor bad back, sleeping in a hotel in some dump, and that has nothing to do with the Mets. I'm just saying Philly's a dump. Even their best hotel is going to be an absolute dump fest. And I'm trying to figure out the word for mattress. So I was saying, through the power, as you know, I say the power of positivity. And I said, Francisco Lindor is home now, and he's sleeping on his own mattress. Now, Lindor is a really, really rich dude. I'm sure he has a top of the line. And then I was going to say, posturepedic, right? Remember the Sopranos? I got a top of the line posturepedic. And I was saying prosperpedic. Now, you could say that. I could have just said, oh, that was part of my brilliance, is that, you know, I came up with that word. I did not. I was going for posturepedic. I forgot the word. I blanked on it completely, but now I'm midway through the joke. So I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what the word is. And I'm like literally like, you know, nervously going, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And then I got to the end of the joke and I just had to say something. So what came out of my mouth was not the right word. It was posturepedic. And what I meant was prosperpedic. So through the power of prosperpedic, I'm still not saying this right.
You reversed it.
What did I say?
The joke is prosperpedic. The actual metric is a posturepedic.
Okay, so through the power, there's the bottom line. This is all you need to know here. Through the power of posturepedic, through the power of posturepedic, Francisco Lindor and us as Met fans will prosper. That's all you need to know. We will prosper through the power of posturepedic. I'm not a big note taker. You know, I don't like to take notes and write stuff down. Evan writes everything down. No matter what, he scores our lives. He scores a baseball game. He scores our lives. I'll do notes once in a while, but I trust myself. I want to be like, I'm out here on the air. I don't want a net. I'm out here. I don't want a net. Sometimes, though, I should write things down, and I should have wrote down posturepedic, because through the power of posturepedic, the Mets will prosper. Francisco Lindor will prosper, and the Mets will be playing October baseball. Now, as I said in the opening of the show, losing to the Washington Commanders is absolute rock bottom. To me, Brian Daboll is absolutely coaching like he has a lifetime contract. He's coaching like he's comfortable. He's coaching like a guy who doesn't think he's going to get fired. He's coaching like a guy who has a built-in excuse of, well, we didn't draft Daniel Jones. Well, I inherited Daniel Jones. This isn't my quarterback. He stinks. I know it. You know it. We all know it. So I can't win with this guy. So he, for the second straight year, has Graham Gano out there injured. We remember against the Jets where he sent them out there in a really, really awful weather day, having him try to kick a field goal instead of going for it. And then you get to overtime and he doesn't let Tommy DeVito throw the ball forward. And then fast forward to yesterday, he's got Graham Gano going into the game already banged up, got, you know, he went to the locker room during pregame warmups, so he was already dealing with a groin injury. And then the brilliant idea, he sends him out there on the opening kickoff and he hurts his hamstring chasing down the kick returner. So, door number one is the guy is an idiot, which I don't think he is. Or door number two is that he's comfortable. He's comfy. He's got his feet up, literally and figuratively. He had the feet up during Hard Knocks. He's got the feet up here because he's coaching like a guy who knows he's got another year or two here. Not on the hot seat. You hear Tiki say that all the time. He's not on the hot seat. He's not on the hot seat. He's not on the hot seat. I mean, this is now year two where this team is going to probably stink. And this is year two where he's making the same mistakes. Your mom always said that. You can make a mistake. Just don't make the same mistake twice. You hear that from bosses all the time. Now, some bosses will yell at you if you make one mistake. But most bosses will let one mistake go. But if you make that mistake again, they have all the right in the world to yell at you. Because you should learn from your mistakes, unless you're comfortable. Because you keep making the same mistake over and over again, you're probably comfortable. Now, I don't know if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane called up Aaron Boone, called up Brian Cashman and said, how the heck did you guys get that lifetime contract? Because I want one. I don't know if they're politicking behind the scenes. I don't know if they've been told by John Mara, listen, you guys are good no matter what. I understand that. Daniel Jones stinks. We can't say this publicly, although we will film ourselves on HBO trying actively to get rid of him. So you're good. You can draft your own quarterback. And then after next year, let's say they draft a quarterback, whatever quarterback they draft. And the quarterback, like most rookies do, unless you're like CJ Stroud, most guys, you know, are not good in their first year. So then it's, well, we're developing him. We need a second year. And then in the second year, well, all right, we made a couple strides. Then there's a third year. Well, here we are 4 or 5 years later, and we still have the same regime. I'm not saying fire Brian Daboll. Let me be clear here. I'm not saying fire Joe Shane, but maybe light a fire under Brian Daboll to know, hey, you don't have a lifetime contract. You can't be making these mistakes. All of us want to see better football. I think I speak for every Giant fan when I say that. I don't want to watch this. And clearly, I'm not alone because we gave the ratings earlier on Evan and Tiki, and more people watching the Jets than the Giants. That's the state of the organization right now. You want to make excuses for it? Go ahead. You want to say it's because of Aaron Rodgers? Fine. You want to say that Giant fans were watching the Yankee game because Yankees had higher ratings than the Mets? Sure, that's fine. We can have fun with that with Evan because we don't want to give him the victory. But the facts are the facts. The numbers don't lie, and those are the numbers. That's where the organization is at right now. And they look disorganized. They look incompetent. This is incompetence, playing a game without a kicker. And then, like I said, you drew up 3 2-point conversion plays basically in the sand. I could have 2 8-year-olds that are making sandcastles that could draw me up better 2-point conversion plays than what I saw yesterday from the Giants. Can't blame the quarterback for yesterday. He was fine. He was okay. He was, whatever. Nothing crazy. I'm not going to scream for Tommy DeVito. I think Tommy DeVito should be the starter. Can't scream about that today because the quarterback was fine. He was good enough to win. Defense, need to see a little bit more. But ultimately, it's on the head coach because he, for the second straight year, dressed a kicker that was hurt, had no backup plan, and sent him out there injured. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. All right, let's go to Mo in Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
Tommy, I want to make 3 points, okay. Right? The first one is that even though the Giants lost, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have to see them in hockey uniforms, number one.
Those uniforms were a gaudy monstrosity. You are correct on that. The Montreal Canadiens did not lose to the Commanders yesterday. I'll say this. I will say this about the uniforms. I appreciate the history, and a lot of that uniform is the history of the Giants. We're talking about one of the greatest organizations in the history Absolutely. Of the NFL. But if you're going to wear those, you better not get your ass kicked, and they did. And now it's, you know, those uniforms will now be associated with that whooping of Sam Darnold and the Vikings on the Giants. They're ugly, they're whatever, and, you know, yeah. There's nothing good you could say about them from a visual standpoint, that's for sure.
Two other points. My third point's going to be about Lindor, but just to change the subject just a little bit. Did anyone see the presentation of this UFC fight that was on the other night?
So, what Mo was referring to, and I did see parts of it.
Oh, my God.
So they were in the Sphere in Las Vegas for the UFC fight. They've done the NHL draft there. I'm sure Triple H is going to get a WWE event there at some point. I'd like to see some sporting events. I've not been to the Sphere. I've heard nothing but great things. I've seen, obviously, pictures of it, stuff on social media. It is top level, of course, a James Dolan baby there. It is top notch. Excellent. I mean, it is good as it gets, the Sphere in Vegas. I mean, from an entertainment viewing sport, I mean, it is an absolute grand slam. But yes, I did see the stuff with the UFC.
I mean, I was watching it. It blew me away on TV.
Yes.
My point about Lindor is I don't know if he had a tweak in his back or if he hurt his back on that play at second base.
No, so Lindor said it's been bothering him for a couple weeks, the back. I don't know if it's attrition. I mean, he plays every game, every single inning. Because obviously when he doesn't slide there, you know, the negative portion of our fan base would be like, oh, my God, our season's going to go down because he didn't slide into second base. He's been dealing with the back injury, and it just sort of got tweaked by not sliding. And look, backs are tricky. He's going to rest this national series, and I would expect him back sooner rather than later because you know he wants to be out there. You're never going to question Francisco Lindor's want, his heart, his desire. He knows what's on the line, and he's come too far and put too much into the season to sit on the sidelines for the last couple weeks. So he'll get back out there, but he needs rest. He needs the power of the Posturepedic. Look, I nailed it. There you go. It only took me 45 minutes, Mo, to get that joke. You got some on the Giants? I thought he had one more thing on the Giants. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Joe, I'm a Jets fan. But okay. I was telling this to my dad yesterday. Mm-hmm. Abel reminds me of Eric Mangini. Good X's and O's, but just not a leader. I mean, he did something yesterday that hasn't been done in the history of the NFL.
Correct.
Losing a game when you score 3 TDs.
And not give up one.
And the other team doesn't score a touchdown.
Yep.
All tens of thousands of games. And to come to the press conference, be arrogant. It's like he thinks he's bigger than the organization. He's just...
Well, he's comfortable. I mean, that's what it is, Mike. It's his personality. That's this, that's that. And he's comfortable. He's comfortable because either he's been told by the owner or he just believes in his mind that I don't have a quarterback that I can win with. I somehow, some way figured it out the first year and we were way ahead of schedule, but I can't win with this guy. He's broken. And let's be real. The Daniel Jones we see now is not the Daniel Jones that existed a couple years ago. We all know that. He's mentally shot. He's had more injuries since then. So it's not the same quarterback. So he knows he's not winning with this guy. So he's either been told by the owner, which is possible. John Mara may have told him this. Or him and Joe Shane are just assuming and making a big time assumption that they're going to have an opportunity to draft a quarterback and develop a young quarterback. That's all fine and dandy, except the road to get there is incompetence, and they're making the organization look bad. And the Giants are basically a laughingstock. You're right. They did something that they have never done in their 100-year history, that has ever been done in NFL history. I believe it has happened, but in overtime. But the point is, you're right. Three touchdowns scored, didn't give up a touchdown, and somehow they lost. Well, I'll tell you why they lost. Because they didn't have a kicker. Because they sent, for the second straight year in a row, an injured kicker out there. I mean, I can remember like it was yesterday, that Monday after that Jet game. And I had the same frustrations on that Monday that I do today. And I was screaming about the same stuff, about the head coach, which instead of going for it late in the game, and you could have iced the game, you sent an injured kicker out there to kick a field goal in horrible, horrible weather conditions on a bad field. And then you get to overtime with Tommy DeVito, and this is before Tommy DeVito was even a thing, and you quit. You quit. They quit. They didn't even try to do anything in overtime. And I was just, forget the fact that it was Giants and Jets, although that does have a little bit of something to do with it, because at that point in last season, it was a big game because neither team was going anywhere, even though the Giants eventually got into the in-the-hunt graphic. But, you know, in reality, neither team was going anywhere. But still, I mean, that was a big game. And you didn't even try. And then here we are a year later, and we're screaming about the same stuff. Speaking of that, because I was going and taking Evan to task a little bit on this, and Beningo, I love you, and he was saying it too. And this almost is going to sound like the debate from the other night, but you're going to fix this, you're going to fix that. You've been here for years, you haven't done anything. So why is Robert Saleh all of a sudden going to wake up tomorrow and this team is all of a sudden going to be disciplined? Because I still see the same undisciplined penalties on defense yesterday. You got bailed out because you're playing the Titans and Will Levis. Can we all be honest with ourselves? And I understand Jet fans have couched it and have created a fortress around themselves. Well, we got out of there with a win. We got out of there with a win. That's all. I mean, we got a win. Can't say anything about it. That's the defense mechanism. We got out of there with a win. The quarterback's healthy. How about the defense? You lost Jermaine Johnson. Now, Hassan Reddick is going to be a very, 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 very wealthy man sooner rather than later. But you already lost guys off that line going into the year that are no longer on the team. Now you lose Johnson. You're eventually going to get Reddick, I assume, but he hasn't seen a football field in forever. So is he going to be effective? Is he going to stay healthy? Your defense was got just absolutely pushed around. But remember, week one was a preseason game, except it wasn't a preseason game for the 49ers because they took you to task. So that was the thing in week one. Oh, it was a preseason game. Okay, fine. It's a preseason game. And then yesterday, it's like, well, they got to clean up these mistakes. They've been cleaning up these mistakes for 4 years. They've been cleaning up these mistakes ever since Robert Saleh became the head coach. Bad penalties on defense, not being disciplined. The quarterback, okay, fine. He's been good. I still think he has lost all mobility, and he is walking in slow motion back there. All right. If the offensive line holds up, that won't be that big of a deal. Big if. There are still a lot of things that are not good about this team, and the expectations are playoffs, Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. So, elite. They are being held to a different standard. This is not sour grapes, because Lord knows I've ripped the Giants for the last, you know, hour and did it on Evan and Tiki, so it has nothing to do with that. I'm holding you guys to high standards. Welcome. You actually have high standards now. So guess what? When you have high standards, you can't parade around saying, oh, well, we just got out of there with a win. No, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way when you're one of the elite teams. You take the win, you don't give the win back. But that doesn't mean you're not without flaws. Constantly, the bad penalties. When is that getting fixed? They're just going to fix that? They're going to wake up tomorrow and that's going to get fixed? They're going to be disciplined? Robert Saleh? Heard this word before, country club, which is what he's running there with the Jets. And they continue to make dumb penalties. Yeah, Will Levis is not going to make you pay for that. You know who is? Patrick Mahomes. You know who is? Josh Allen. You know who is? Lamar Jackson. Those guys will make you pay for that type of stuff. You'll win games because you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You'll win games because you have really good offensive players. But when you get to January and the games are tight, those plays are going to cost you and cost you dearly. So yeah, you're going to fix it. Sounds all well and good. Great. Put it on a billboard. We're going to fix it. The New York Jets 2024. We're going to fix it. But I haven't seen that yet. And I've never seen it when Robert Saleh is the head coach. So build your fortress. Have your fun. That's great. Call it sour grapes. It's not. But there are flaws and there are things that need to be corrected. And just saying they need to be corrected is just lip service. How and when are they exactly going to be corrected? And your defense is continuing to lose bodies on it. a defense that is probably... Look, they were bad at the end of last year. So you're going to tell me they were great early in the year? And they were. They were horrible at the end of last year. Horrible. Horrible. Joe Flacco put up, I think, 75 points in the first half against you guys. And Flacco was really good down the stretch, but still. Your defense was not good last year. And I've seen early on this year where it's not been good. But they'll fix it. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Chris in Monmouth. What's up, Chris?
Yo, Tommy. Thanks for taking the call, man. Hope you're doing good.
Yeah, you too, dude.
Couple things, Tommy. You should record exactly what you just said for the last 3.5 minutes because it is bulletproof. It is right on in every aspect. And then you play it for the man they call Evan, who on the radio today with the gleeful arrogance and obnoxiousness of analyzing the Giants because the Jets won, and Tiki, who I love, so out of it about, oh, Dable, he's who he is. No, he is a terrible speaker. He doesn't know what he's doing. He hasn't earned anything, and you're absolutely right. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers will keep that team afloat, but you said it. He is not. Are we the only ones looking at this with real eyes and saying, this guy can't move? He'll make the passes. He's got the poise. Tommy, Evan and Tiki today were like in a dream world in their analysis, and you're the only guy keeping it straight. You come up and you do the real work. You know what I'm saying? Tommy, am I wrong?
No, Chris, you're not wrong, and I appreciate it, bro. You're right, and I push back a little bit on Evan. Here's the problem. He's like, on the show, he's the point guard. He's the booker in wrestling. He controls the pencil, so I can be silenced on the show. He can move on. He can go to a call. He can laugh at one of Marash's horrible jokes. He can move on to Tiki. We speak the truth here. There is no Evan Roberts here, so I could just say whatever the heck I feel and please. And I think he built a fortress. I think he built a fortress around himself today saying, well, the Jets got out of there to win. All that matters. Because he knows. He knows deep down that the quarterback can't move anymore. He knows deep down that he doesn't trust the offensive line. And he knows deep down that Bobby Saleh is not a good head coach. And the team continues to make the same mistakes over and over and over again and bad penalties on defense. But it'll get fixed. You are being held to an elite standard, whether you like it or not. And you should like it, because it means you have a really good team. If I thought you stunk, I would just move on and wouldn't talk about you. Or I would talk about you for a little bit and then move on. But I'm holding you to a high standard. I'm holding you to Super Bowl standards. And the first test you had this year against a Super Bowl contender, you got absolutely, the floor was just wiped with you. And then yesterday against Tennessee and Will Levis, and we'll see, book's still out on Will Levis, you got out of there with a win. Great. But there were still plenty of things to not like and plenty of things that got to get fixed. And I ask you this. Are you confident that Robert Saleh can fix this?
All gas, no break.
He shouldn't be. Because I don't think he has the tools to fix it. I don't think he's equipped to fix it. I think he has allowed and fostered an environment that's a country club. And I don't think he's just going to wake up and go, oh, yeah, I'm going to start enforcing things and start making you guys be more disciplined. You're either disciplined or you're not. And this team has been undisciplined under his watch. That's it. And it might not cost you against Tennessee. It didn't. But it will cost you against Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes will make you pay 99 out of 100 times. Josh Allen will make you pay 90 out of 100. Lamar, same, 85, 90 out of 100. They will make you pay. You got to fix it. I don't know how. And the quarterback looks old. He does. Doesn't mean he can't sling it. Doesn't mean he can't, put up points, but he looks old. When you watch him, he looks old. All right? Lamar Jackson look old? They're 0-2. I'm not going to worry about the 0-2 Ravens. They have a Super Bowl winning head coach and a 2-time MVP who's young. Maybe he could have been on the Jets. I'm not going to worry about, certainly not going to worry about, obviously the Bills are where they are, the Chiefs, I laid it out for you, the big teams in the AFC. If you want to be on that level, got to step your game up. And you can't just say, well, we got out of there with a win. Doesn't work that way. You got to start showing that you are one of the elite teams in the NFL. And we'll see. If you get there, you get there. Tip the cap, always do. But again, holding you to a very, very, very high standard. And so far, they have not reached that point. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Paul Rosenberg on the other side of the glass. Monday Night Football. Falcons. Eagles. By the way, I don't know if Ricotta did this on the air today, but I was hoping he would do the Falcons, don't embarrass me tonight. And they will, because it's Kirk Cousins on primetime, and it's the Falcons. So,
I can't take it
exactly
anymore.
Sal. Come on. Kirk Cousins on primetime. Nah, they'll be all right. Evan picked them, so I'm sure they'll win by 12. All right. Evan and Tiki, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the Mets. Enjoy the Yanks tomorrow. And then, obviously, the Monday Night Football tomorrow, too. Later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Man. W.